إن الحمد لله. Certainly our praise belongs to Allah. نحمده. We praise Him. ونستعينه. We ask His help and assistance. ونستغفره. And we ask His forgiveness. ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا. We seek His protection from any evil within ourselves. ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And from any negative outcomes of our actions. ما يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever He guides, the Almighty, then no one can lead astray. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever He chooses to go astray, then none else can guide. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I testify that nothing deserves worship except for Allah. وحده لا شريك له. He is alone in that right without any partner. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his worshipful slave and his messenger. عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Now we continue today with our book وَصَايَ سَلَفْ لِلشَّبَابِ, Select Advices from the Early Islamic Scholars for the Muslim Youth. Select Advices from the Early Muslim Scholars for the Muslim youth, and we have, and we have reached the fifth advice, the advice of Al-Hasan ibn Abi al-Hasan al-Basri, one of the most well-known scholars in the history of Islam, in the second generation of Islam, who died in the year 110 after the migration of the Prophet ﷺ to Al-Madinah. And this advice is about giving precedence to pursuing the hereafter. Giving precedence to pursuing the hereafter. One moment. Look in the Gmail. Yeah. I sent to the Gmail, so look for an email from my email account on my phone. The author of this book was a Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. He says, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, وَمِنْ مُصَايَ السَّلَفْ لِلشَّبَابِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And from the advices of the youth for the advice of the Salaf, Allah have mercy upon them. مَا وَرَدَ عَنَ الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِي كَثِيرًا مَا كَانَ يَقُولُ, is what was reported from Al-Hasan al-Basri. May Allah have mercy upon him that he used to frequently say, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ, O young people, it is upon you to pursue the hereafter, to work for the next life. It is upon you to work for and give due diligence to working for the next life. فَطْلُبُوهَا, and pursue it. It is upon you to attend to the hereafter. فَطْلُبُوهَا, therefore pursue the hereafter. فَكَثِيرًا رَأَيْنَا مَنْ طَرَبَ الْآخِرَةِ فَأَدْرَكَهَا مَعَ الدُّنْيَا, because we have seen many people that have sought after the hereafter, worked for the hereafter, and accomplished what they set out for, preparing for the hereafter, preparing for death and the paradise and the fire and the day of judgment. فَأَدْرَكَهَا مَعَ الدُّنْيَا, and they got the hereafter and they got the world at the same time. They accomplished what they set out to do in the hereafter, and at the same time, they accomplished what they set out to do in this world. Meaning that they accomplished wealth. At the same time, they got their hereafter, they also got their wealth. He said, وَمَا رَأَيْنَا أَحَدًا طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا فَأَدْرَكَ الْآخِرَةَ مَعَ الدُّنْيَا. But we have never ever seen anyone. We have never ever seen anyone who pursued this world alone, made this world their greatest ambition, made this world their greatest ambition and pursuit, and got what they wanted from this world while getting what they desired in the hereafter, while having a favorable outcome in the hereafter. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kanat al-akhiratu hamma," whoever has the hereafter as their ambition, "jama Allahu shamla," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will organize their matters, their affairs together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will organize their life. "Wa ja'ala ghinahu fi qalbihi," and He will place contentment in the heart of that person. "Wa atathu ad-dunya wa hiya raghima," and the dunya, the world, will come to him, "wa hiya raghima," whether it wants to or not. This world will come to that person whether he wants to or not. And this is something that was witnessed all throughout the history of Islam. The Muslims in their earliest of days, in the first centuries of Islam, while they made their greatest ambition to work for the hereafter and to establish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the likes of these things, they flourished as a civilization. And when they went away from that and they started to fight over power, a squabble over money, and these sorts of things, then they declined steadily ila yawmina hadha, up until today. Up until today, it was a steady decline. After many generations of flourishing, many generations of establishing a civilization like the world had never seen, and it declined steadily until we reached this point that we have reached. Wallahu musta'an. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued in the same hadith. He said, "Waman ja'ala ad-dunya hamma," and whoever makes this world their ambition, meaning that which they want the most, and that which they long for, their ham, and their desire, their ambition. Whoever makes this world their ambition, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Farraq Allahu alayhi shamlahu," Allah will scatter the affairs of that person. His life will become disorganized. وَوُضِعَ الْفَقْرُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ وَوَضَعَ الْفَقْرَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place poverty between the eyes of that person, meaning that's all the person will see. No matter how much money they have, they will feel as though they don't have enough. وَلَمْ يَأْتِيهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And nothing will come to that person of this world, meaning of wealth and status, the things that people covet in this world, except for what has been destined for him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in a constricted fashion. So this is a tremendous advice that we have in looking at how the early scholars advise the youth, that they advise them to make your number one priority to work for preparing for death and the things that we know in detail that will happen at the time of death, and that will happen in the life of the grave, and that will happen in the paradise, and that will happen on the day of judgment, and that will happen pertaining to hellfire and its punishments and so on and so forth. That if a person does that at the same time, it is likely that they will still have the time that it requires to take care of one's family, to meet one's financial obligations, to live a normal life. And this is something that has been seen all throughout the history of this Muslim nation. He says, "So it is upon you to seek the hereafter." And we have seen many people look for the hereafter, search after a good outcome in the hereafter, and get the hereafter along with this world. We have never seen anyone make this world their priority and still succeed in having due preparation for the hereafter. This is something that is witnessed. Everyone has regrets on their deathbed. Everyone has remorse on their deathbed. Everyone feels that there is more that they could have done. Everyone feels that there is a boatload of things that they should not have done. Everyone feels afraid to meet their Creator. Everyone feels afraid to leave their family behind in a dangerous world. Everyone feels afraid at the time of death, and they have many regrets and they have much remorse. And so the person who neglected working for the hereafter, there's no doubt that such a person has ruined the greatest opportunity that he had to come close to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and to attain the good pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and he would die in a state of great remorse. He said, وَهَذَا تَنْبِيهٌ عَظِيمٌ جِدًّا مِنَ الْإِمَامِ الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِي رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِلشَّابِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ هَمَّهُ الْآخِرَةِ وَنْ يَعْتَنِيَ بِتَحْصِيلِهَا وَشُغْلِ وَقْتِهِ بِمَا يُقَرِّبُهُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. He said, this is an extremely tremendous point that is brought to our attention by this great Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, for the young person, that he is to make the hereafter his ambition, and that he is to attend to attaining the hereafter, and that he is to busy his time with what will bring him close to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. He said, فَإِنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ. And if he did that, if he worked for the hereafter and he busied his free time with that, if he does that, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْهِ بِنَصِيبِهِ وَحَظِّهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And he will find, without a doubt, that Allah, the Almighty Tabarak wa Ta'ala, will graciously bless him with his fair share and portion of the world. وَلَا يُفْحَمُ مِمَا تَقَدَّمْ أَنَا الْإِنسَانَ يَتْرُكُ تَحْصِيلَ مَا يُقِيمُ دُنْيَاهُ وَرِزْقَهُ وَمَسْكَنَهُ وَمَلْبَسَهُ. And what is not to be understood from what has been stated here is that any person, young person, old person, any person is to leave off doing what is necessary to establish his worldly situation and to establish sustenance and provision for himself and clothing and shelter for himself. وَيَبْقَى عَالَةً عَلَى الْآخَرِينَ. And remain in a condition where he is dependent upon anyone else. بَلْ لَا يَضُرُّ الْمُسْلِمَ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ وَيَقْدَحَ وَيُحَصِّلَ الْمَالِ. And he says at the same time, it would never hurt a Muslim whatsoever to work or to strive in earning his wealth. وَلَوْ أَصْبَحَ الْمَالُ عِنْدَهُ كَثِيرًا. Even if the amount of money that he got ended up being something substantial, if he became a wealthy person, that would not hurt the Muslim. الَّذِي لَكِنَ الَّذِي يَضُرُّهُ أَن تَكُونَ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ وَبُغْيَتَهُ وَمَقْصَدَهُ وَمَبْلَغَ عِلْمِهِ. But what would hurt him is that he made this world his greatest ambition, purpose, intention, and the thing that he had the furthest extent of knowledge about, that he knew more about the world and the things of this world than he did about his religion and the affairs of the hereafter and those things that are from the rulings of his religion. كَمَا جَاءَ عَنَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. As comes in the supplications of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as has been reported by At-Tirmidhi and Kitab Al-Jami' in the chapters of Al-Da'awat, yani the invocations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and graded to be Hasan and graded to be authentic by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala in his checking of the book Al-Kalim Al-Tayyib by Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his du'a, he would say, وَلَا تَجْعَلَ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ حَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. O Allah, don't allow this world to be أَكْبَرَ حَمِّنَا, our greatest ambition, وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا, or the extent of our knowledge, any that which we have the most knowledge about. وَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَيْضًا إِنَّكَ انْتَظَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَاءَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْتَظَرَهُمْ عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. He said to one of his companions that you leave your waratha, your inheritors, those that inherit from you, أغنياء, wealthy, that you leave them in a state of sufficiency, is better for you than leaving them in a state where they are عَالَة, yani where they are dependent upon others, يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ, extending their palms out to the people, reaching their hands out to the people, asking, begging the people, so on and so forth. It is better for you to leave your family in a good condition where they are self-sufficient than leaving them in a state where they are dependent and begging the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from dying in such a condition. فَمَنْ جَعَلَ هَمَّهُ الْآخِرَةِ. Whoever makes his ambition the hereafter, therefore whoever makes their ambition the hereafter, جَمَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ. As we heard, whoever makes their ambition their hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather their affairs together for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will organize their life for them, and the dunya will come to such a person, and he willingly or unwillingly, Allah will cause this world to come to that person, and he what they need. لكن من جعل همه الدنيا, and he, however, the person who makes their ambition in this world, جعل الله فقره بين عينيه, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place poverty right between their eyes. ولم يأتيه من الدنيا إلا ما كتبه الله له. As we hear in the hadith, and nothing will come to such a person from this world except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined for them. Al-wasiyatu sadisa, the sixth of these 15 advices that are in this book, he said, min wasaya salaf al-shabab, from the advices of the youth, from the advices for the youth that were given by the early scholars, ma ja'a an Uqbah ibn Abi Hakim, as it came from Uqbah ibn Abi Hakim, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah have mercy upon him. Qala kunna najlisu ila Un ibn Abdullah. He said that we were sitting, or that we used to sit and congregate in the sitting of the great scholar, Un ibn Abdullah. Un ibn Abdullah. And he was Un ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Mas'ud. Un ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Mas'ud. And he was Un ibn Abdullah, the son of Utbah ibn Mas'ud. Utbah ibn Mas'ud being the brother of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he was one of the closest students of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Un ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Mas'ud al-Hudhali, from the tribe of Hudhayl, al-Hudhali. His kunya was Abu Abdullah. He was from the scholars of Kufa, which is where? Modern day Iraq. And the scholars of Kufa, from the latter Tabi'een, from the second generation of Muslims after the era, the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His narrations, his ahadith, can be found in Sahih Muslim, as well as the four collections of Sunan, which are Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and An-Nasa'i. Right? So his ahadith, the ahadith that he narrated from the companions who narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he can be found in these, and in five out of the major six books of hadith. He died in the year 120 after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Uqba ibn Hakim, he said, we used to go and sit with Un ibn Abdullah. This is our first benefit here. And that in the time of the Salaf, the youth, the young people, would preoccupy themselves with religious knowledge and all that entails, from the recitation of the Quran, from al-inaya wal-ihtimam bi-ulum al-lugha, given importance and care and attention to the sciences of the Arabic language, like nahw and sarf, like grammar and syntax, and the likes of these things. And he's sitting in the majalis, as some of the salaf, they said, as was stated by al-imam al-awza'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said that those who came before, meaning the sahaba and the tabi'een, the first two generations of Islam, that after praying the salatul fajr, and those that were engaged in knowledge, and who were a majority of people, that they would sit in the masjid after praying Salatul Fajr, the pre-dawn prayer every morning. And the first thing that they would do after the rising of the sun, what did they do until the sun rose? You have an answer? Or you're just scratching your head? Well, they prayed before the sun rose. Yes, they did pray. They would make dhikr and dua, and either adhkar of a sabah, the adhkar and duas, the invocations and forms of remembrance that are said in the early morning. The first thing that they would do, Al-Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the first thing that they would do is that they would sit for some time remembering the hereafter. And then after that, they would engage in the study of the ahkam, the rulings of the religion, everything from acts of worship and the pillars of Islam and the extra obligatory acts, to business transactions, to marriage and divorce, and things that require the arbitration of a judge, like marital disputes, and all those things that are covered within the laws of Islam in detail. This is what the people would engage in. And so the youth used to come on a daily basis to the sittings of the scholars. And they used to come on a daily basis to the sittings of the scholars. You find narrations like the narration of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahmatullahi alayhi, who said that he used to sit in the gatherings of the scholars and they couldn't find a thobe, a garment that fit him, and so they would have to roll up the sleeves and roll up the bottoms. And he would sit and he had these shoes that were curled up. It was like elf shoes almost, if you think about, like curled up in the front because they didn't fit him, and so on and so forth. And he would sit in the gatherings of the scholars on a daily basis, on a regular basis, learning from, he said, ulama al-amsar, from the scholars of the territories of Islam, from his east and his west. And this was what the Salaf al-Salih, what the early scholars were upon, and how they passed on the legacy of Islam and the details of Islam generation after generation without losing anything of this phenomenal and tremendous religion. He said, going back to the statement of Aun ibn Abdullah, he said that Aun ibn Abdullah, 1:6. Aun ibn Abdullah said, "Ma'shar al-shabab, young people, qarra'ina al-shab, qarra'ina shabab yamutun. We have seen young people die. Fama yuntadaru bil hasar idha balagh al-minjal." He says, so what is expected to be done with al-hasad, meaning that which is harvested, or crop, right? Or something grows and it is harvested. And at the time of youth, the person has reached the height that they're probably going to be their entire life, right? Now they're going to get fatter, probably, as time goes on. But they've reached, for the most part, as tall as they're going to grow, and so on and so forth. And how much longer do you expect to live, meaning, he said, how much longer do you expect to live? And he إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمِنْجَلِ, and he, when the hasad, when it grows, when that which is harvested, when it grows to its full height, and he, how much time can be expected when the minjal is brought out? The minjal is like, they call, like, I'm a city boy, a sickle. Minjal, and he, a sickle that which you cut down a tool to cut any grain and so on and so forth. وَيَمَسُّ لِحْيَتَهُ, and then he would say this while rubbing his beard. He would say this while stroking and rubbing his beard, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that was a serious affair. And this is an advice that he used to give to the youth quite frequently. And this is something that being in a position of responsibility in various communities is always one of the saddest things and one of the most unexpected things that ever happens. When you see a young person, somebody 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, pass away. That which is very troubling and very saddening. Those are the saddest funerals that we've conducted. But it happens. But it happens, and a person should not expect that they're going to live to see their 60s and 70s and 80s, but they should make the most out of their life, and they should take advantage of every day that they have, not knowing how long they have to live in this world. وَمُرَادُهُ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّ مَنْ بَلَغَ هَذَا السِّنِ حَانَ لَهُ أَنْ يُحْسَدْ. And what he intended here is that whoever reaches his age, then the time has arrived for him to be harvested. لِأَنَ الزَّرْعِ إِذَا تَمَّ حَانَ حَصَادُ. And because when vegetation grows to its full height, it is time to be cut down. وَالَّذِي كَبُرَ أَيْضًا دَانَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ. Just as the person who reaches old age, then his maniyah, his demise is right around the corner. فَذَكَرَ لَهُمْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ لِيُنَبِّحَهُمْ أَلَّا يَغْتَرَ الْإِنسَانِ بِرُؤْيَتِهِ لِمَنْ أُمِدَّ لَهُ فِي الْعُمْرِ. So he mentioned this to them to alert them to the importance of not being deluded by looking at those who were blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live a long life. إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يَغْتَرُّ عِنْدَمَا يَرَى بَعْضَ الْمُعَمَّرِينَ. Because many people, when they see those that reach a very old age, when they see many elders around them, then they are fooled into thinking that this is something that is guaranteed for them. And this is something that is guaranteed for them. Any death can happen to any person at any time, and in the most unexpected ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned when he said, "Khayrun nas man tala umuruh wa hasuna amaluh." That the best of mankind are those who have long lives and righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and our families and our children long lives and righteous deeds. However, this is something that is in the hand of our Creator, tabarak wa ta'ala. No person controls any how long they will live. لِأَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يَغْتَرُّ عِنْدَمَا يَرَى بَعْضَ الْمُعَمَّرِينَ وَيَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ سَيَبْلُغُ مِنَ الْعُمُرِ مِثْلَهُ فَيُفَرِّتُ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ وَيُسَوِّفُ وَيُؤَجِّلُ. And they think that they're going to reach an age like their elders. And they become negligent in many affairs, and they start to procrastinate and delay things that should be done now. كَمَا قِيلَ, as a poet once said, يُعَمَّرُ وَاحِدٌ فَيَغُرُّ قَوْمًا وَيُنْسَ مَنْ يَمُوتُ مِنَ الشَّبَابِ وَيُنْسَ مَنْ يَمُوتُ مِنَ الشَّبَابِ. And that a single person is made to live for a long time, and so he fools his people, and those that die while they are young are forgotten. And people forget about all the young people that pass away in their youth, and they don't prepare for death, and they don't think about death, to the point that some people oppose the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who instructed that no person should go how long without having a will or testament, without having a wasiyah. How long? Huh? 3, right? 3 nights. No person should go more than 3 nights without having a wasiyah, a will or testament. If a person has a debt, they should write that debt in their will or testament. Right, their will and their final testament, and so on and so forth. And the Salaf al-Salih, the Sahaba, they would keep their will and testament under their pillow or their bedding, or so on and so forth. And this is something that a person should have. Some people have some slight superstition when it comes to that. They think that if they go ahead and write that, that is some type of sign that something may happen to them. They think that if they delay preparing for death or thinking about death, if you just don't think about it, it's not going to happen. Like you could will death away, or like you could just wish to live as long as you want to live, and so on and so forth. And our situation is not at that level. We're much more vulnerable than that. And this is something that is from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person to realize that their life is, in fact, in actuality, it is very short. And they don't know how long they are going to live. وَفِي الْمَعْنَى نَفْسِهِ جَاءَ عَنَ الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِ أَنُّهُ قَالَ ذَاتَ يَوْمِنِ جُلَسَائِهِ. There's another statement from Al-Hasan al-Basri, who died in the year 110, and who we mentioned in the fifth advice. And he said one day to those that were sitting with him, and in his gathering, وَكَانَ فِيهِمْ شُيُوخٌ وَشَبَابٌ. And they comprised of a number of elders and a number of youth. يَا مَعْشَرَ الشُّيُوخ مَا يُنْتَظْرُ بِالزَّرْعِ إِذَا بَلَغَ قَالُوا الْحَصَادِ قَالَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ إِنَّ الزَّرْعَ قَدْ تُدْرِكُهُ الْآحَةُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَبْلُغُ. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, O young people, or he said, O elders, and once vegetation grows, what is expected to be done with it? He said, is to be harvested. And he said, O young people, إِنَ الزَّرْعَ قَدْ تُدْرِكُهُ الْآحَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَبْلُغُ. There are all sorts of calamities that can happen to crops, or it can happen to something that is being grown before it reaches its full height, before it matures, and so on and so forth. فينبغي للمسلم أن يكون حاله كما جاء في الأثر. And so it's befitting for the Muslim that his situation is similar to what has come in the narration, إذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح, that when you reach the evening, then don't expect to live until the morning. وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء, and when you reach the morning, then don't expect to reach the evening. Meaning, live every day like it's your last. A person hears that. You know, I have non-Muslim family. We all have non-Muslim family. We have Muslim family members that are irreligious, some of us. And you hear people that when you say these sorts of things around them, what do they say? They say, that's depressing. Now, who's more depressed, though? The person who lives every day like it's their last. And they take full potential and full advantage. And they're grateful for everything that they are blessed with. And they're grateful for their family. And they treat people in a way where they know that this may be the last conversation you have with a person, and this is how you want to be remembered, and so on and so forth. Or the person who thinks that they're going to live to be 1,000 years old, the person who thinks that they're going to live forever, and they all they are concerned about is right now and the here and now, and so on and so forth. We had one of our dear brothers, may Allah have mercy upon him, who passed away around Ramadan, was it? In Ramadan, I believe it was in Ramadan, our brother Yasin. Who knew the brother Yasin from upstate New York? You knew Yasin, right? Because you're from New York. You knew Yasin, right? Now you see Yasin in all of our gatherings. If you were in Jersey, if you were in Philly, if you were in D.C., if you were in Atlanta, if you were almost anywhere in the United States, in the continental United States, even if you were in Canada, in Toronto or other places, you would see Yasin during the lectures. The conference is packed, and you know, the conferences, seminars, it's hard to get into the front, right? And most people, Ashabu Takif, they want to sit by the AC anyways, right? So they don't want to sit in the front because it's hot, you know, everybody's breathing and it's uncomfortable, so on and so forth. We would see our brother, he would always sit right here, right in the front. And he would be on a little stool, and the brother for more than a decade was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And they told him that he had less than 6 months or so to live, right? And I spoke to him on the phone around a year ago, Allah have mercy on him, and he was crying. He was in a lot of pain. He was in the hospital. And he said that getting cancer was the best thing that ever happened to him. That getting cancer was the best thing that ever happened to him. That's... Don't make me cry. Right? SubhanAllah. He said, because, he said, you know, when somebody tells you that you're terminally ill, that you're going to die, right? That it's very highly probable you're going to die, and quickly. The people, they do what's called what? It's called a bucket list, right? You have a list of things that you're going to do before you die, right? Now, the Muslim, he's not like, I'm going to go to Bermuda, I'm going to go to the Bahamas and, you know, sit on the beach and drink daiquiris and so on and so forth. Hey, the intelligent person, Muslim or non-Muslim, is going to make amends with anybody that he needs to make amends with. He's going to repair relationships with children or grandchildren. He's going to get close to his family. He said, I've been through my bucket list, he told me. He said, I've been through my bucket list more times than I can count. Everything that I want to do on that list, I've done it over and over and over and over and over again. I keep making a new list because I don't know when I'm going to die. He said, and that's why I come to every seminar. That's why I come to every conference. And I don't miss anything. I don't miss anything. Alhamdulillah, it's something that you can learn from everybody. Now, a person who knew for a decade that they could die anytime, and he was elderly when he passed, I assume, he was around 60 years old, right? He was at least in his mid-50s, right? Huh? La, okay. Balagha 80? La, adhan. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad Shabana, ala riwayatihi, according to Muhammad's narration, you know, Muhammad istiqa indi. Muhammad said, Muhammad, who's a people person, right? Who knows a lot of people. Muhammad said that he reached to be 80. Allahu Akbar.
Right? He aged well, mashallah, tabarakallah. But this is something to think about, alhamdulillah. And nobody knows when death is going to come for them. And it's not something depressing to say that we should live every day like it's our last, and we should think about death. That's something that's actually very positive to say. That's something that gives a person a lot of hope. Because a person who is like that, right, and they treat the people that they are around also like they don't know how long they're going to be around. And they don't know how much time they're going to have to spend with them. One way or another, somebody's going to die before somebody else. How many people have lived to see their children die? How many grandparents have lived to see their grandchildren die? This is something that is very important. And it was from the advices that were given by this great scholar, Awn ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, to the youth when they used to sit with him. And likewise, we hear the statement of Al-Hasan al-Basri that is very similar to it. فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَالُهُ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْأَثَرِ. And so the Muslim should be, as is mentioned in this narration. This narration reported by Bukhari, it is mawquf to Abdullah ibn Umar. What does mawquf mean? Mawquf in hadith. A narration that is mawquf. It's a statement of the Sahaba. I mean, aqwal al-Sahaba. It's from the statements of the Sahaba. Right? So it's mawquf, meaning it's a statement of one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his students, Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was from the major scholars of this nation. He said that when you reach the evening, then don't expect to reach the morning. And when you reach the morning, don't expect to reach the evening. Qala ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. The great scholar, rahimahullah, Ibn al-Jawzi, the great scholar of Baghdad, may Allah have mercy upon him, Ibn al-Jawzi, he said in his book, Sayyid al-Khatir, he said, يَجِبُ عَلَى مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يَبْغَتُهُ الْمَوْتِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُسْتَعِدًا. And it is compulsory, mandatory upon a person who doesn't know when they are going to die, to be ready to die. It is mandatory for a person to be ready to die who doesn't know when they are going to die. Any person who doesn't know when they're going to die, it's mandatory for them to be ready to die. Meaning for everybody, because nobody knows when they're going to die. وَلَا يَغْتَرَّ بِالشَّبَابِ وَالصُّحَّةِ. And not to be deluded by their youth and their health. He said, so any person that doesn't know when they're going to die, they need to necessarily be prepared to die. وَلَا يَغْتَرَّ بِالشَّبَابِ وَالصُّحَّةِ. And not be deluded by the youngness of their age or their health. فَإِنَّ أَقَلَّ مَنْ يَمُوتُ الْأَشْيَاخُ. Because the elders are those who die the least. The minority of those that die are elders, meaning the minority of those that die are those that have actually reached old age. وَأَكْثَرُ مَنْ يَمُوتُ شُبَّانِ. And the majority of those that die are still young. When we say young people, it's not necessarily just children. Islamically, the shabab, and he all the way up into around the age of 40 or so, right, into the age of kuhula, which is around the age of 40.
roughly. وَلِهَذَا يَنْدُرُ مَنْ يَكْبُرُ He said, and for this reason you find that it is a rarity to find, for this reason it is a rarity to find those that actually reach old age. He said, and what will make us realize this, that which attests to this fact, is that when you look at families, then you will find that the elders amongst them are very few, that those that are elderly, any that are substantially old, they are really very few. And that the majority of those that died in that family died during the stage and the phase of youth or in the age of childhood. And we'll do this last advice for the night, the seventh advice, Al-Wasiyatul Sabi'ah, in Wasaya Salaf al-Shabab, Maja'a an Qabus ibn Abi Dhabyan, Qala Sallayna Yawman Khalfa Abi Dhabyan, Salat al-Ula, Wa Nahnu Shababun Kulluna, Min al-Hay Illa al-Mu'adhina, Fa Innahu Shaykh. Qabus ibn Abi Dhabyan, he said, one day we prayed with Abu Dhabyan, meaning his father. He was Qabus, the son of Abu Dhabyan. So one day we prayed with Abu Dhabyan, Abu Dhabyan, who died in the year 90 after the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and was from the Tabi'een, from the scholars, from the trustworthy scholars of Kufa, rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, one day we prayed the first prayer with Abu Dhabyan, Salatul Fajr, the youth prays of the Salatul Fajr in the Masjid, with this great scholar, Abu Dhabyan. While we were youth, kulluna min al-hay, all of us were from the neighborhood, except for the mu'adhin, meaning except for the mu'adhin, fa'innahu shaykh. He was an elderly man, meaning that we were all youth, except for the mu'adhin, he was an elderly man. And we were all from the neighborhood that the shaykh, that the scholar, he lived in. فَلَمَّا سَلَّمَا أَلْتَفَتَ إِلَيْنَا When he made the salam and finished the salah, he turned towards us, towards the youth that were praying in the masjid, this elder scholar, and he said, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ يَسْأَلُ الشَّبَابِ Then he started to ask the youth, one after another, مَنْ أَنْتَ مَنْ أَنْتَ Who are you? Who are you? What is your name? What is your name? What is your name? What is your name? He wanted to know the names of the youth in his community. مَنْ أَنْتَ مَنْ أَنْتَ فَلَمَّا سَأَلَهُمْ قَالَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْحَثِّ وَتَشْجِيعِ وَالتَّنْشِيطِ لَهُمْ إِنَّهُ لَمْ يُبْعَثْ نَبِيٌّ إِلَّا وَهُوَ شَابٌ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ الْعِلْمُ خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ شَابٌ He said that every prophet that was sent while they were relatively young still. While they were still relatively young. And the Prophet ﷺ received revelation roughly at the age of 40. Right around the age of 40. Alayhi salatu wasalam. No prophet was sent except that he was still young for the most part. You know, he wasn't an elderly person, he wasn't an old man. And the best time that a person can get knowledge, knowledge of the deen, knowledge of the dunya, knowledge of the religion, or knowledge about anything, is while they are still young. Is while they are still young. And so here, this great scholar, Abu Dhabyan, brought it to their attention the importance of اغتنام خيرية الشباب وبركاته and he taking advantage of the goodness of youth and its blessing وأنه الفرصة العظيمة للتزود والتحصيل واستغلال النشاط والقوة and that it is a tremendous opportunity to prepare to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to acquire knowledge and to take advantage of your energy and your strength we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard all of us. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. It's a pretty straightforward class, but if anybody has any questions, feel free.